Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya of a yored shaloi birshus. Now, as its name implies, what that means is if one person goes ahead and is yored the tefsadeh chavera, he goes ahead and he improves someone else's property, someone else's field, without permission. He was never being hired. The simple case of the Gemara is a farmer comes home one day after a vacation, and he finds out that in his absence, someone was kind enough to come into his field and plant a whole row of trees. He didn't hire the person, he didn't ask him to do it, and the question is what is the halakha? What are the worker's rights, and what are the responsibilities and the obligations of the landowner? Now, I think most people, when they learn this Gemara, their first reaction is this doesn't happen in real life. I mean, when is the last time you came home and found that in your absence someone came along, painted your house, cleaned your gutters, built an addition? It just doesn't happen. This can't be very negative. However, if you think about it, the reality is that this halacha is extremely common, and many, if not most, dinei Torah that involve poel and that involve contractors or workers, at some point touch upon these issues. And the reason is as following. The Gemara has a very extreme case. You don't know the fellow. You're sitting here learning during Seder, and while you're learning, someone else is busy at your house banging away and improving the property. That is very uncommon. However, what's much more common is what happens if you hire a worker. You hire a contractor to paint your house. Now, you've needed a paint job, or at least your wife has been telling you need a paint job, for quite a number of years. But it's not the highest on your priorities. You pushed it off. You're making a simcha. You're making a bar mitzvah, you're making a chasana. So you decide, for the simcha, people are coming to the house, you want it to look nice and fresh. You hire the painter, you tell him, it has to be done, this is the date, I'm doing this only because I'm making a simcha, have it done by this date. The painter promises, no problem, it'll be done in 3 days, and as is quite common, 3 days becomes 3 weeks. And by the time the simcha comes along, all your guests are coming in, your house is exactly halfway painted, it's primed, it's this. So the bottom line, it's the middle of the job. The poel, after the bar mitzvah, comes back the next day, works straight, gets it done. But he breached the contract. You agreed to pay him to have it done by a certain date. He did not deliver. So this is a case where he was a yored. He did work for you. You had a benefit. But he can't hold you to the contract because he breached the contract. So what's halacha? Do you have to pay him? How much do you have to pay him? How do we deal with this kind of situation? Another common scenario is you bring a car to a mechanic, there's something wrong with it, and while the mechanic is busy working on the car, he's fixing the transmission, he notices there's something else, he notices the brakes are worn out and needs a brake job. So he replaces the brakes. You come back, you're expecting a bill for a few $100s, and the bill is much higher. He tells you, oh, I noticed you needed a brake job, so I did it for you. Did you hire him? Not to do the brakes. So what is that law? Can he send you a bill? Do you have to pay the full amount or not? Now, this actually happened with my chavrusa. He built himself a house. And one of the upgrades that he wanted to do is he wanted a finished basement. He went to he hired an architect. They drew up plans to design the basement for what he needed it for an apartment, or this, or that. Beautiful plans. He gave it to the builder. The builder followed the plans exactly for the house down the block. His house received his neighbor's basement. So at the end of the day, he has a beautiful finished basement. He has value. It's usable. But it's not what he wanted. So these are all cases where someone did work, but not what he was hired for. And the question is, how do we deal with these situations? Now, normally when you hire a worker, things are very simple. You negotiate an agreement. This is the job you have to do. This is the amount that you get paid for it. And in the perfect world, everything works like that, and we have no problems. What happens if you hire a worker? You call a plumber down to do a job, but you don't discuss how much you're going to pay him. Your toilet is stuffed up. You call a plumber, he comes down, he gives you a bill. What is the halacha? How much do you have to pay him? So here the halacha is that when you hire a worker, typically, if you don't discuss how much you're going to pay him, you pay kepachos shebapayolim. You pay the cheapest rate. And the reason for that is very simple. Everyone wants a bargain. We're talking about Jews here. If a worker accepts a job and doesn't discuss his fee, he has to understand, or it's understood, the Baal HaBayis, the person who's hiring him, wants the lowest rate. And therefore, unless the worker specifically says, I am an expert plumber, I have many years' experience, I charge a premium, the halacha is you pay him the pachash of a pilim, you pay him the lowest prevailing wages. Now, the Paiskim today do say that it depends on the case. The typical case in the Gemara is you're dealing with a laborer. You go to Home Depot, you pick up someone to do some gardening work. So if there's a range of prices, you pay kepachas of a poilim, you pay the lowest amount unless there is a negotiated agreement. In contrast, if you call up, if you retain a law firm to do work for you, or if you go to a doctor, so there are many places from today say that it's understood. Everyone knows every doctor's office has a certain fee for different procedures. Everyone knows that every law firm has a rate that they charge based on their experience and based on a number of factors. So in a case where you know there is a set price and you don't ask, there are many places from today will say that it's understood you're agreeing to pay whatever that set rate is. But in the absence of a set rate, if you're dealing with a laborer or someone who just, every time he does a job, there's negotiations, there's a range, the halacha is you pay the pachash of a parilim, you pay the minimal amount unless there's some sort of agreement or unless there's some sort of heskim in advance. Now that's talking about a case where you hire the person to do the job. You just didn't discuss how he's going to be compensated. What we're dealing with today is the next level. And that is, you never asked him to do the job in the first place. So we hear what the Gemara says, it's Bav Metzia, Daf Kuf Aleph, we have it in the Maror Mekoymos. Itmar, hayorid techsadech aveiroi, v'notash le'bershus. If you go down, you're a yorid, you go into someone's field and you plant it without permission. Omar Rav, shaman loy v'yoday ala tachtoino. Rav says we evaluate the value of the services provided, and yada al tachtaino. Now, what that means, the way Rashi explains it, is that the person did the job. So it doesn't make sense for the owner, for the Baal HaBayis, to be able to benefit from the job, to keep the improvements, and not have to pay anything. So he certainly has to pay something. On the other hand, the worker was never hired. You never asked him to do it. The landowner never decided or never chose to hire this person. So it doesn't make sense either to have to pay the full price. So what Rav says is, you pay yadar achachtayna. What you do is we figure out how much it costs this fellow to do this work. Materials, if he had to hire workers, how much he had to pay the workers. We also include in basic hourly wage for himself. That's the hoitzos. Those are the expenses involved in creating these improvements. We then figure out what the shvach is. We figure out how much benefit the landowner will have. If someone comes into your house and repaints the house, how much did the house appreciate in value? Zok Rav, we take these two numbers. We take the hoitzos, we take the expenses that this worker invested in creating this improvement. We take the shvach, we take the value of the benefit to the landowner, and you pay whichever is less. So in other words, since you are benefiting from the job, you have to pay. for it. But instead of paying the full price, you pay him his expenses only up to the amount of benefit that you got. If his expenses were more than your benefit, you can tell him, sorry, tough luck. I never asked you to do it. I only had this minimal benefit. I'm not paying more than that. But assuming your benefit is more than his expenses, the halacha is he gets reimbursed for his expenses, for his time that he put in, and that's it. And this is called yodai al tachtoina. As the worker gets the raw end of the deal, he will never make money off this project. He will either get the minimal expenses and the time that he, including his the time that he put in, or he'll get the benefit, the value of the improvement, whichever is less. And the Gemara continues that that's just the first shita. This is Rav. Shmuel Omer Amar Oimdin Kam Adam Roitza Litim Sadu Zulunaita. Shmuel seems to be a very big chumrah. What Shmuel says is that no. We look at the improvement that was done, and we figure out how much do people pay for such improvements. So if someone goes ahead and paints your house, we ask, we call a few painters, we find out how much people pay for a paint job. And Shmuel says you have to pay the full value for the services. You never asked him to do it, he was never hired, but the bottom line is, he provided value to you, and therefore, Shmuel Paskins, you have to pay the full amount that people typically pay for this kind of service. Now the Gemara says, we have a stira. We have Rav and we have Shmuel. It seems to be a machlekes. Zot the Gemara, it's not a machlekes. They're talking about two different cases. Shmuel is talking about a case of a soda asuyolita. What that means is that there's a field. This field, because of the way of the way it's situated, because of the way it's watered, the thing to do with this field is to plant trees. That's what a normal person would do with such a field. Now, this farmer didn't get around to planting the trees yet, and while he's sitting here listening to his shir, someone goes ahead, brings down a tractor, and does all the work for him. It was a soda asuyulita. This work needed to be done. If this Yoyrid would not have done it, the landowner would have had to hire someone else to do it. In such a case, where the work needed to be done, Shmuel says, if he did the work for you, pay him in full. Why not? If he wouldn't have done it, you would have had to pay the same amount to somebody else. So even though you didn't hire him to do it, you have to pay him the full value of the work.
What if you wanted to pay anybody? There's
not the money. Oh, good. So we'll see later. That will become an enasuyulita. But if the case is where it's work that needed to be done, you would have paid someone else to do it, the halacha is, even though you didn't hire this person, you do have to pay. And therefore, if you go to the case of a mechanic, you bring your car into a mechanic, you think it just needs a brake job, and while the mechanic is working on it, he sees there's another problem which needs to be fixed. Since it's something that would need to be done, even though he didn't tell you about it, he didn't ask for authorization, you have to pay in full. A doctor that's operating, and while they have the patient cut up and open on during the surgery, they notice there's a tumor somewhere, and he takes it out, he could send the patient a bill for the full value. It's something that needed to be done. It's something that he would have had to pay the full price to do it, and therefore, even though the person you never hired, you never spoke to him about it, the halacha is, you have to pay the full value.
What if the web's not something like intrinsic to the function, like the car, let's say, the electric window doesn't go up and down? The guy says, I don't care if it goes up and down.
So it depends what kind of car it is. If you're dealing with a 2012 Lexus, so if the window doesn't go up and down, it's going to get fixed. No one with a car like that is going to leave it broken. So that is asuyulita. And if you go ahead and you fix it, you have every right to send a bill. On the other hand, if you're working on a 1995 Chevy, and the window is probably, at least is one of many things that is broken and is not going to be fixed, then it's ain asuyulita, and that, well, the halakha will be different. We'll get to in a moment exactly how to deal with it. So the bottom line is, if someone does something for you that would need to be done regardless, it's asuyulita, this is the normal thing to do, then you have to pay in full.
If the person doesn't have the money, and that's why he procrastinated in planting those trees or getting that thing fixed, it becomes
Yeah, again, we'll get to that in a moment, a little bit exactly how to deal with it, but things can be asui lita or ein asui lita for many reasons. The simplest case is in the case of a farm, what's the best use for this piece of property? But there are other factors as well. If you can do it, if you would have done it yourself, if you can't afford to do it, there are many other reasons why something would become asui lita or ein asui lita. So what we need over here, the crucial point over here is, if it's something, this is what would have been done anyway, then the halacha is you have to pay regardless. Now this, there's anyone here who's unemployed. So this sounds like a very good business model. Say you're a painter, and you don't have any jobs today. Well, back, you're sitting in shul, and you're over here, the fellow in back of you is building a house. He turns to his friend, who's also a painter, and says, listen, you know, I have to have my house painted. I want to paint the following colors. So can you come next week and can you paint my house for me? So you go ahead, you zip out right after davening, you head right to that person's house, and you paint it for him, and you present him with a bill. So what's the halacha? This is a case of a sada asu yoliza. The person clearly needed the job done. In fact, he was ready to hire someone. He hired someone else to do it. So the halacha is, as far as the other painter who shows up next week and the house is painted, he has a big tie-in on you. Ani mach v'charara, you stole his job. So you certainly did an avla. But as far as the homeowner, he got his house painted. It's exactly what he needed to be done. He was going to pay for it anyway. It's a sada asu yolita. And in this case, you would have to pay. The fact that you didn't hire the person is not relevant. The bottom line is, you got the benefit. It's something that you would have done anyway. So the halacha is, you do have to pay for it. If you'll gain, okay, if there's a benefit there, so, you know, what do you want now? Right now it's there. The house is painted. Now that it's painted, it has this full value to you. So the fact that you may not have hired him is not really relevant, because the question that we have today is what is the value, what is the benefit that you have today from the improvement that's done? And since it's asui lita, since it needed to be painted, it needed to be painted with these colors regardless, there the halacha is, you'd have to pay in full.
But if I would have used higher quality paint, he used lesser quality paint, so that, obviously you can't take off the paint to put on again.
Correct. So that will get to. Correct. It's asui lita for in a different way. Fair enough. So that's the first.
So it just says, I think that guy is a top flight painter, and I don't, you know, I'm suited to that. They're going to use the same stuff. They're going to be the same.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that. So that's the first level. Jobs that needed to be done, even though you didn't contract him for it, the bottom line is, if it needed to be done, you have to pay the bill. This is a very common fight or very common thing that comes up. You'll hire a contractor, and while he's doing the job, he will see additional work needs to be done. He does it and sends the person the bill. The halacha is, you have to pay him in full. What? Well, right now we're dealing with a Jew. By a guy, it will be maybe a bit different.
You tell him explicitly, I don't want you to do this, I want somebody else to do this, and he does it anyway.
So by a macha, it might depend whether it's absolutely needed. But if you need to do it, if it has to be done regardless, it's not a difference in the quality of the work, I would think you have to pay either way. But I don't have a raya. It's hard to call a gezel, you're not stealing anything. Now it could be, I mean, if you want to be creative, it could be maybe it's like sachmoid, because it's like chomos. Chomos normally is, you grab an item that a person doesn't want to sell, and you force him to sell it to you. Here, it's like a tayuv v'zavin, you're forcing him to buy it from you. So I don't know, maybe in some cases it would be. In most cases, if you think about it, when it's asu yulitza, you're doing the person a favor. If you know the person needs the job done, and you do it for him, he comes home from the shir, and everything is done, it looks beautiful, you've done him a tremendous, tremendous taiva. So I think in most cases, it's to his, he might be a little bit shocked, he might try to negotiate with you, but if you really look at it from an objective point of view, it's a win-win situation. He gets the job done without any hassles.
I wasn't ready for the job. I don't mind him now. I want 3 years from now.
Right. So not having money, we'll get to. That might make it into an asuyulita. But in fact, the Baal Mor, in figuring out how to pay, they're different. There's machlokes rishonim exactly how to figure out what it means. Yada al yoyna. What does it mean? You pay the full amount. But the Baal Mor says is like this: if you need a paint job, so you can go to Home Depot. You can hire these goyim at $10 an hour. You can supervise them. You can go and you can get the job done. It'll cost you $300. On the other hand, if you have better things to do with your time, you call a painter, you say, paint my house. He goes and he has his workers, and he charges you $500. Zogda Balamar, by a case of a yorid, where it's asuyalita, you have to pay the $500. Because that's what you got. You got service, no hassles, no supervision, no problems. You came home, the job was completely done. And therefore, you pay the full amount, because that is the value of what you got.
What about a case where, like, there's a flood or something like that? A guy, something's destroyed. This guy goes and quickly fixes it up before the insurance can come to assess it. Is that considered?
He might be a mazik there. but for example, but if you see a flood, let's say you walk by a house during the winter, you see that, you know, all the lights are off, there's water cascading out of the basement, the pipes burst. If you go in, you fix the pipes, and leave them a bill, it's pasha, they have to pay. Because it's a sada asuyulita. The job needed to be done. You did the work for them, and they have no right to say, I would have called, they weren't around, you were the person there, you have every right to send a bill. In that case, happens to be... What?
They prefer to have their house rebuilt.
With insurance. Okay, you're right. Now, that case happens to be, there's another complication, because there there's a chiv to do it, al tashavas aveda. Now, when you're meshav aveda, we'll get to in one of the future weeks, it's not so simple. If someone loses an aveda, and you go ahead and you return it, it's not so simple you can send the person a bill. So that we'll deal with, at the end of the day, in this case, you'll be able to send a bill, but that we'll deal with in a future shiur. Just want to point out, there's another twist in that case. But in a typical case, you got benefit, it needed to be done, you pay in full. That's all a sada asuyulita, which is this improvement was appropriate for the field. This is what was the normal thing to do, regardless. What is Rav talking about? Rav that says yada tachtayin. So Gemara says he's talking about a sada she'en asuyulita. This field is a field you plant wheat. This yoyrid went ahead and he planted trees. Now trees have more value than wheat. But because of this field, because of the way it's watered, it's not the typical thing to do. People don't invest this kind of money in a field like this. So in such a case, it's ein asuyulita. This field is not meant to be planted with trees. This improvement is not appropriate for the particular piece of property. So in that case, where the improvement is not appropriate, the halacha is you get paid less. You get paid either your basic expenses, up to the improvements, whichever is less. Because if the improvements, if you spend more, if you spend $10,000, but the landowner is only getting a $5,000 benefit, so the landowner can say, listen, I don't care what your expenses were. No one asked you to do this. I'm only going to pay you my benefit, which is the $5,000. In the flip case, where you invested $5,000, but there was a $10,000 improvement, there the landowner can say, I'll pay you for your expenses. You did the work. But nothing more than that. Because I did not want this done. This is not the typical thing to be done to this property.
If he planted wheat and now he has to uproot the trees.
Good. So that we'll get to in a minute. Yes, you could. We'll get to that in a minute. But what we're talking about over here is the improvement has value. At the end of the day, having trees, the farmer will be earning more with the trees than he would have with the wheat. But it's just not usually worth the investment. People don't bother. So in that pay case, it's ein asuyulita. You get the shvach or the hoitzah, whichever is less. If you go back to the other examples that we discussed, if the mechanic fixes your electric window, so if it's ein asuyulita, if you were not planning on doing this, it's an older car, you still are getting some benefit. So you would pay either the hoitzos, either his expenses. Now, expenses doesn't mean the amount he normally charges you. Normally, he charges you enough to make a profit. But over here, you pay for the basic expenses that he had, or the shvach, or the benefit that you received, whichever is less. Many cases will be like this. If you hire a kind, if we go back to the case where you hired someone to paint your house for a simcha. Now, in that case, your house didn't need the paint job desperately. It was not a suyulitza. You've been pushing it off for all these years, and you only did it for a specific reason. You did it only for it to be completed in time for the simcha. If it's not done in time for the simcha, it's now reverted back to an ein asuyulitza. Now it's something which you would not have done otherwise. So here the halacha is you pay the person either shvach or hitzah, whichever is less. So even though you signed the contract, you agreed to pay him $3,000 to paint your house, since he breached the deadline and you made it clear to him, it's only being done for the simcha, at this point it will revert to an ein asuyulitza, and if he wants to get paid, he will have to demonstrate what his expenses are, what the shvach is, what the benefit to you is, and you will pay whichever amount is less.
So my understanding, it seems like you don't say plus the back, it's always will feed this guy, whatever. You don't say, well, plus the back the guy when everybody does. It's always, these things, it's always the guy.
We generally look at this person because this is the person who you're trying to send a bill to. So he has to pay based on his situation and his set of facts. What other people would have done is really, 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 really not relevant. Yes. So there, it's in Simon Shin Vav, it's clear that he can bill for his time as a basic laborer. So when you hire someone, when you hire a painter, so there he's not just billing the $10 an hour for his time. He's building in a profit for the company for the overhead advertising, and because he's making a profit. That's fine. But in this case, he will not get that. You'll figure out how much time he personally spent, and he can add that to the other expenses, the people who he hired. But it's nothing more than the basic, you know, pakashav of piling for his time, and no profit involved. So essentially, whenever we're dealing with a case where a person is a yoyrid, where he does a job which he wasn't asked for, or he does the job differently, the question is it asuyulita or ein asuyulita? By an ein asuyulita, he will get his expenses, or he'll get the profit, or the benefit, whichever one is going to be less. Now this leads us to a third case, which is what happens if a person does the job, he wasn't asked to do it, and there is no shvach. There is no appreciation. Person has a house, the paint is okay, perfectly okay, there's nothing wrong with it, it's a little bit old. His wife decides it has to be, you have to update it, it's too out of style. She picks out all the colors. They want to repaint to be more trendy. The painter comes in and mixes up the colors and paints the house wrong. Now, in that case, he didn't do what he was hired to. He's the Yorid Shalei B'Shus. He has hoitzos. It costs him the same amount to paint the house the wrong colors than it would have cost him to paint it the right colors. But there's no shvach. The house was okay before, it was okay now. The homeowner is willing to pay to get the colors that they wanted. But now that they didn't get the colors that they wanted, so Yorid Shalei B'Shus, since you didn't provide any value, the halacha is you get paid absolutely nothing. So if the paint was a few years old and there was some benefit that it's fresher, you might get something. But if there is no real value added, it's just a question of preference, and you didn't do what you were asked to do, there the worker would not get paid anything.
In the case where there was a little value, let's see, the little cracks and things like that, it was the wrong color, he has to pay someone anyways to paint the colors he wants.
Oh, so this leads us to the next question. What happens in all of these cases where the farmer comes home, it's asuyulita, it's not asuyulita, he takes one look at the trees and he goes postal. He starts yelling and screaming, get these off my property. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to talk to you. Get this out. So over here, the halacha is that by a sadeh she'en asuyulita, any case where this improvement was not needed, it's not appropriate, there the halacha is shoyimim loy. The landowner can say, I never asked you to do this. You did it without my permission. You didn't ask me. Get it out. I'm not interested in paying you. And the halacha is, by a sadeh she'en asuyulita, you have the right to do that. You can't force someone to upgrade his house. So if you want to go ahead and just build a hotel on his property, he can tell you, I'm not interested. I like living here. I'm not looking to go into the hotel business. Rip it down, get rid of it. I'm not paying you a penny. But that is talking about Yesod She'ein Asur Yelitza, where the improvement is not appropriate for the property. By Yesod HaAsur Yelitza, here it's not so simple. Here, many Rishonim say that if you bring your car to a mechanic, and while he's doing the brakes, he sees that there's a problem with the transmission, and this needs to be fixed. He fixed it, you have to pay him. And many Rishonim say, you can't go ahead and say, I didn't want you to do it, I never asked you to do it, take out the new transmission, put in the old one. If it's Asur Yelitza, if they need it to be done, many Rishonim say, you have no right to demand it, to demand that the person remove it, and you're stuck, you have to pay for it. Other Rishonim argue, and they say, you can't force a person to buy something. And therefore, even though it's Asur Yelitza, even though this is the normal thing to do, he can say, I'm not interested in buying it, I'm not interested in improving it, get rid of it.
What about the case where the guy's selling his car, the guy says, well, this has a problem, can you fix that before you sell it? And so he brings it in, and then the guy fixes some other stuff. He says, it doesn't have me at all, because I was not...
Very good. So in a case like that, it's Ein Asur Yelitza. Because when you're selling a car, if you own a car and you're the end user, perhaps it's Asur Yelitza, perhaps this is something that work that would have been done. But if the car is for sale, you're only fixing the bare minimum that you have to sell it, then the improvements that he did are going to be Ein Asur Yelitza. So here it is, Machlokes Rishonim. It's at the end of the day, the Shos Yaakov says it's a Seika Dedina, and you cannot force the person to pay for it. And therefore, even by a suyulitza, if the owner says, I don't want it, the halacha is, get rid of it, take it out. The halacha is, according to most poskim, you cannot force the owner to pay for it. Chazon Ish makes a little bit of a pshara. Chazon Ish says, Beis Din really uses their judgment whether this person is serious or whether he's playing hardball. Very often what will happen is that the yard will do the job. The homeowner will go ahead and start yelling and screaming, I don't want it. Then, when the worker says, okay, I'll rip it out. No, I don't want to rip it out. It's not so bad. Zogdei Chazon Ish, if we see that really the person wants it, and he's just playing hardball, he's saying get rid of it because he's trying to force a settlement, the Chazon Ish says, there we make you pay the full value. But if a person comes up with a legitimate reason, even though it's Soda Asur Yelitza, even though normally you plant over here, normally you'd fix the car. But if the person demonstrates he has a real justification why he doesn't want to do it, there the Chazon Ish says perhaps everyone agrees that he can tell the guy, take it out, I'm not interested, I don't want to pay for it. Now based on this, it's really Meduyik in the Rush, if you have a case where it's Asur Yelitza, the normal thing to do is to fix it. But the person says, I just don't have the money. You're right, I should fix the window. You're right, the normal thing to do would be to repaint the house. But I have tuitions, I have a family to feed. I'm not ready to do this. And that's why I haven't done it until now. So based on that, it's Meduyik in the Rush. Everything will become a Soda She'ein Asur Yelitza. And you have the right to say, get rid of it. This is not what I'm ready to pay for. It's not what I'm ready to do. And therefore, even though it looked like it would be an appropriate improvement, even though to most people they would do it, to me, that's not where I'm standing today. I wouldn't have done it, and therefore get rid of it. How have I? It's usually laziness. It depends on the person. It's certainly true. The fact that he needed, that he hasn't done it, is an indication that there's probably a reason. But more, very often, it's just there's no reason. He just hasn't gotten around to it. People are busy. But in a chalami, if you can demonstrate that you have, besides the paint job, your driveway hasn't been taken care of, your gutters have not been cleaned, you don't have the money to spend on these things, then that would become, then you certainly have the right to say, toll, get rid of it.
Is there any difference between and the case where you actually hire someone to do something and does the wrong thing, according to the beginning, or is it become the same, basically it has the same difference?
It's pretty much the same. When we get to Simon Shin Vav, we will see that if you hire someone to do something and does the wrong thing, there's a chumrah and there's a kula. The chumrah is, according to many, it's a machlokes, but according to many, if had he done the right thing, you would have, let's say, made, there would have been a $50,000 improvement in the value of the house. Now that he did the wrong thing, there's only a $40,000 improvement. It could be he's responsible for that difference. Because once he takes a job and he says, I'm going to do this for you, it could be he's now responsible for any lost or any lost opportunity for a profit or for appreciation. That's Machlokes we'll get to in Siman Shin Vav. The Shach has there's also a Kula, but that's, again, we'll hold that off for Siman Shin Vav because it's really, really a Machlokes.
In the case of your friend, then he had the wrong basement put in. So
in that case, he had designed the basement because he wanted it for a specific purpose. The way it was built, it was not good for that. He had the right to say, Tol, rip it all out and start over again. If you don't want to, if the builder was not ready to do that, so they were able to negotiate. But it's certainly not a sada asu yulita. It's certainly at best a sada she'en asu yulita, and he has the right to say, just get it out of here or negotiate something, work something out. But
he certainly has to pay for the architect. The guy hired an architect to make these plans. The guy didn't use the plans. He paid the architect $1,000, you know.
Okay, that will probably be a grama. He still has the plans. He can still use them. Now, luckily, as you can say, Tol, get rid of, I'm not paying you for the basement. Once you're not paying him for the basement, he can rebuild it based on the architect's plans.
That comes back to kind of why was it did you monitor what's going on and obviously sounds like a radical project plans.
Okay, again, what happened if that went to a din Torah is another story. He happened to have caught it in the middle after it was framed. Some of the stuff, but the problem is that the plumbing had already been done, and that's the kind of thing they'll deal with in a din Torah. But conceptually, we have this halacha that if you can show good cause why you're not interested in it, even though it's normally a sadas suyolito, you have the right to say so. The complication is what happens. Let's go back to the paint job. You hired someone to paint your house; they did the wrong colors. So what do you say? So get rid of the paint. How do you get rid of paint? What do? Come with a razor and scrape it off the walls? Paint it over again. So what happens in a case where the person does the job? And let's use the case where my house terribly needed a paint job. It was in absolutely horrible condition. They paint the wrong colors. I come home and I say, get rid of it. Now, what does it mean, get rid of it? I know good and well that's impossible. Zuk the nesivus, that's not called tall. Tall is when you put in, you plant trees. I come home that day, I say, get rid of the trees, plant them somewhere else. You can do that. Come with a tractor, the same way you put them in, take them out, and plant them somewhere else. There I can say tall, and therefore I can force you to take it out. And if you don't want to take it out, okay, so we'll negotiate. Zakhni Nasiva is that's only when it makes sense, it's possible to take it. When it's impossible, and I know it's impossible, so then when I say get rid of it, it means nothing. It's impossible to get rid of it. And in such a case, the Nesivu says that you cannot say toll, and you can force the person to pay for the shvach or the hoitzah, whichever is less. You can force him to pay for the benefit that he has. And the way the Chazon Ish explains it is because the fact that you say get rid of it, we don't believe you. We think it's just you're playing hardball. You know you're going to force him basically to walk away and take a loss. In a case where you had a good reason, for example, if it's the wrong paint colors and your shalom bias is on the line, the other Chazon Ish says even in such a case you would be able to say tol because it's sincere. We know good you the reason. Even though the house is better, you're saying tol because you're going to have to repaint it. But in a typical case where you're just going ahead and saying I don't want it, it's not good for me. There, if it can't be removed, according to the Nesivus and according to the Chazon Ish, we will not be able to say tol.
What happens?
So it argues.
What happens if the guy creates an issue? For instance, he builds a house and needs a microwave. The guy's going to spend money, he has a fancy house, he can't just put up a little bit of things, he's going to put a nice thing up there. He says, you create a situation, it's an issue for me, now I'm going to have to put more money, I don't want to do that. So can he now, does that have any impact?
If it was, what do you mean, it was built,
the guy might build something.
If he built it in a way where now because of the expenses or it's not convenient for him, he may be able to say tol. If it's not convenient, or there'll be now one last case, and this is there was actually we had a dentaya recently. A tenant moved into a house. He moved in. The house was actually a new house, but it didn't meet his standards. So he went ahead, and before he moved in, he repainted, he put in flooring, he put in moldings, and he made the house, he upgraded the house very significantly. A few months later, the landlord decided to sell the house. And the new owner told the tenant that, "I'm not going to renew your lease." So the tenant wanted to bring brought the original landlord to a din Torah. "I went ahead, I invested thousands of dollars improving your property. I want to be compensated." So over here, there are a few points to consider. If a tenant goes ahead, if a tenant lives in a house, and one day there's a storm...
The market value of the house go up?
Oh, good, we got to that. If one day if a tenant lives in a house, and there's a storm, and something breaks, there's a flood. Now, assuming it's the landlord's responsibility to take care of the flood, if the tenant goes ahead and hires someone and takes care of it, so here he's a yoyrid by a sada suyolita. It's something the landlord would have to do. Clearly, if the tenant does it, he has the right to send the landlord the bill because it's a suyolita, and he has to pay the full value of the services that were provided. On the other hand, the Rush actually has a very interesting case where a person went out of town for a few months. So a fellow came in, he saw there was a vacant house. So he went and he moved in. He squatted, rent-free. Now, while you're living in the house rent-free, he had a couple extra dollars. So he figured, well, if it's rent-free, I may as well fix it up. So he repainted and he fixed it up. And when the owner came back, he evicted him. So he said, "I want to be paid as a yard." So Zog the Rosh, it depends on the improvements. If there was something that was the roof was going to collapse, and this squatter came and he fixed it, that needed to be done, that you can send the bill. But the fact that this squatter wanted it, repainted and made it nice and things like that, that is Eina Suyolita. And there the landlord would have the right to say, "I'm not benefiting from it, I don't want it," and either he can say tall, or at best he'll get the Shvach or the Hotzah, whichever is less. Now, when you have a tenant and he improves the unit, so in many cases, the landlord is not directly benefiting. He's not living there. He's never going to live there. When the first tenant moves out, he's going to rent it the next tenant. And therefore, in many cases, it's at best a sada she'eina suyolita. And the landlord can say, "Toh, I don't care. This is of absolutely no benefit to me. You want to take your flooring, rip out the flooring and take it out." That being said, in a case where he sells it and he's able to sell it, the house, at a higher price because of these improvements, so there he can't say toll. If he says toll, then his buyer has the right to back out of the contract. He paid this premium because of this beautiful unit. So in that case, where he is benefiting from it, there he would have to pay. You have to figure out what the shvach is, how much extra he's making because of the beauty of the unit, which it's pretty hard to figure it out. But that's what you would have to look at. What's also interesting is that sometimes in a case where a person improves the unit and then he leaves and another tenant moves in, so the landlord very often couldn't care less whether you take these things with you or not. It's not going to change the market value of the unit. But you'll have a funny situation where the old tenant can tell the new tenant, "Listen, I put in a Shabbos lock. Either pay me a certain amount and I'll leave it there, or I'll take it with me." Now, this is not a regular case of yoyrid, because you weren't yoyrid into his sadeh. You yoyrid into the landlord's. It doesn't belong to the new tenant, it belongs to the landlord. But because you have the right as a yoyrid to say that Eitzei v'Avani Ani Noito, that if you don't want to pay me, I will take the improvements out, I'll just restore it to the original condition, you'll have the right to do that here as well, and you'll be able to negotiate with the new tenant. But it's all negotiations. If the new tenant doesn't want to, just says no, then you can't force him to pay. You weren't yoyered into his thing, and your option would be to go ahead and rip out the improvements if that's possible.
What about the case of mezuzahs? The guy got really fancy mezuzahs.
Okay, mezuzahs are a little bit of a different question because there's an isser taking down mezuzahs. But bederech klal, you have, even though it's also to take it out, bederech klal, you have the right to say, either pay me for it or you take it down. But that's another shmooz. All right, thank you. The ksoy says that even if it can't be removed, you have the right to.